podcast of 98FM's Dublin Talks. Remember, catch the show live Monday to Friday at 10 a.m. 98FM's Dublin Talks with Adrian Kennedy.
Now, last night on Channel 4, from 9 o'clock, a documentary aired called Leaving Neverland. Now, I don't know if you saw it. If you did, you may have an opinion on it. I saw it myself, watched the whole thing, and yeah, I'm a bit conflicted. But the documentary featured Wade Robson and James Safechuck, both of whom have alleged that they were sexually abused by Michael Jackson as children. The two men described in detail their relationship with Michael, how he nurtured their talents, and the close bond they felt with him. But they also went on to graphically describe the abuse they alleged to have happened at several of Michael Jackson's homes, including his famous Neverland Ranch in California. And again, my question to you is, did you see the documentary last night? Has it changed your opinion on Michael Jackson? Or do you think it's wrong to accuse a deceased man? I mean, he's not here to defend himself. And for those of you who did watch it, it seemed like a very one-sided documentary, in that everything that was portrayed on the programme last night went completely unchallenged. We'd be in a lot of trouble if we were to do a radio programme like that was completely unbalanced. However, you can't libel or slander a dead person, so that's how the documentary has been able to go ahead, completely unbalanced, if you like. Anyway, I'd love to get your opinions on it on 6797981. Now, one of the people involved in the documentary last night was Wade Robson. And here's just a tiny bit of what he said on the documentary last night.
Every time we were together, it happened. There was no night that went by that I was with him that he didn't sexually abuse me.
Okay, so there wasn't one night went by where he didn't sexually abuse me. But back in 2003, the same gentleman appeared on the Jimmy Kimmel show on American television, where he was asked about his relationship with Michael Jackson.
And you started as a youngster dancing with Michael Jackson?
Yeah, started dancing when I was like 2, and then won a dance competition when I was 5 that Michael was holding sort of all over the world during his tour. And it was like a dance-alike contest like him.
Right.
I won that, and then the prize
was
to meet
him. Into the ramp.
Easy, Dean.
No, he's not moving to the ramp. Are you still friendly with Michael?
Yeah, we still talk every couple months, catch up.
You do, really? Yeah. What's he like?
He's a good guy.
He's a good guy?
Yeah.
Show me where he touched you.
No nonsense, no shenanigans.
That was in a television interview back in 2003. And I would love to hear from you on this on 6797981. You can text or WhatsApp the programme on 0877 989898. And reaction is coming in already, like this WhatsApp message.
Yeah, I watched the documentary last night and I've never believed he's done that. And did the courts not find him not guilty? And there was very, the fact that those two kids had a very similar story, that they felt sidelined by Michael Jackson. And, you know, they were no longer in his favour, if you like. And they were very jealous of the new kids. And obviously they felt that he'd promised them fame and fortune, and he hadn't delivered on his promises. And, you know, they just seemed very, very upset and jealous. And I think that's where a lot of this comes from.
Okay, well, I'd love to hear from you on 6797981. You can text or WhatsApp the programme on 0877 989898. Now, earlier on from Heathrow Airport, just before he boarded a plane to Los Angeles, I spoke with Taj Jackson, who is Michael Jackson's nephew. And he has been speaking out about this particular documentary. And obviously you can imagine the side that he is taking on this. And I began by asking him his reaction to the documentary, which aired in the UK and Ireland last night.
Yeah, I mean, it was very hard because it was so one-sided. The director, Dan Reed, he never even wanted to get a conflicting opinion. He had his narrative, basically, and, you know, he could have asked a family member. He could have asked other people that have worked for Michael, because Michael's no longer here. He's not here to defend himself. And so I think it's just very unfair, and it's kind of dangerous in a way, because now this can happen to anyone.
The program, at least last night's show that was shown here, does paint a very shocking image of your uncle as being a child groomer and a child abuser. But you yourself, as a child, would have spent a lot of time in Neverland. Did you ever witness anything untoward, if you like?
No. And, you know, the thing is that, you know, a lot of my friends have gone to Neverland. A lot of my friends have been there. And the way they paint the picture of it is just ridiculous. And a lot of my friends are actually, you know, on message boards angry as well, because when you actually go there and you know what it is, and then you see on TV being painted another way, it's very betraying.
So in terms of what you witnessed as a child, you're Tito Jackson's son. And as a child, you spent a lot of time in Neverland. What was it like as a child? What did you witness as a child?
Honestly, Neverland was better than Disneyland. I hate to say it like that, because everything was free. You know, the candy was free, the yogurt was free, watching movies was, and so, you know, the playground was free. But I think the best memories, honestly, for me at Neverland was just when I would see underprivileged kids. There was like hundreds of them there, and just watching them run around and kind of being free, or, you know, the Make-A-Wish Foundation would be there. And when you see that and you see the smiles on the kids' face, it's everything. So, you know, they're for 1 minute or 1 hour, they're not thinking about their sickness. And I think that's the beauty of Neverland.
So with children that had a special place in Michael Jackson's heart, like the two featured in the documentary last night, who had a very close relationship with him, regardless of what their accusations are. What do you think his motivation would have been for befriending children like that?
You know, the thing is that my uncle had been working, you know, he had been doing music since he was 5 years old, professionally since he was 8 years old. He was performing at clubs and nightclubs with his brothers. You know, he used to ask me, you know, what's it like to have a birthday? What's it like to hang out with friends? He didn't have friends. He was in studio. His brothers were his friends, but he didn't have outside friends. He had tutors. So, you know, we look at it as, oh, of course, you know, it looks a different way for the outside world. But, you know, that's why Macaulay Culkin understands him, because that was Macaulay Culkin's life as well in that way. Macaulay Culkin and him were kind of peers in that way, because Macaulay Culkin understood what it's like to work as a kid and not have that childhood.
Is it possible that because you were related to him, because he was your uncle, that you may not have been aware of potential abuse going on in Neverland?
No, definitely. Well, first of all, you know, Neverland had hundreds of employees. And, you know, they even allude in the deposition that it was basically a school for abusers. And they cleverly and smartly cut that out of the documentary, because they would have been sued by everyone that worked at Neverland. But in their deposition, they've said that. And I think the thing is, first of all, I spent thousands of hours with my uncle, you know, and I'm actually a sexual abuse survivor myself, from an uncle on my mom's side of the family. So I'm very, very aware of the importance of, you know, victims coming out. But at the same time, I can't allow people that are making stuff up to ride that wave as well.
And is that what you see it as, making stuff up?
Well, you know, when you purposely omit stuff out of a narrative, like Wade, you know, purposely omitted that he was dating my cousin Brandy for 8 years during the time when he supposedly was being molested by Michael Jackson. That's very misleading. because it doesn't fit the narrative. And the thing is that my Uncle Michael was the one that connected Wade and Brandy together. But that doesn't go with the narrative because supposedly Michael Jackson's supposed to be in love with Wade.
So what do you think the ultimate motivation is for Dan Reed making the documentary and for Wade Robson and James Safechuck to take part in it? What was the motivation?
Well, for Dan Reed, you know, these are his words. He basically said he was looking for a big story that hadn't been covered. You know, he wanted that next big story. That was what he said. So how much bigger can you get than Michael Jackson? And he actually pursued Wade and James from that. Now, Wade and James have a civil case right now with the Michael Jackson estate that they're hoping to appeal. So when they say it's not about money and they're not getting anything from it, they're suing the estate for hundreds of millions of dollars right now. So it's their best interest to have public opinion on their side so that they can kind of sway, you know, and it's very frustrating in that way. Cause I'm thinking about it. I'm pacing cause I'm angry because I've heard people say, well, they're not getting paid by HBO or they're not getting paid by Channel 4. No, but they have a suit for hundreds of millions of dollars that's up for appeal this year. And so they can get paid hundreds of millions of dollars if things go their way.
Is it a case that the family, being a family, are always going to blindly back Michael and back his memory and so on, and that perhaps you're not prepared to look at the bigger picture?
Yes, it's very, and I say the same thing for his family, you know, whether it's Wade's family or James's family that were on TV. You know, my uncle's not here to defend himself, so we have to look at it both ways. That's why, for me, I would have been content if Dan Reed would have went out to other kids that have spent a lot of time with Michael. But he wasn't interested in that because most of those people, from Macaulay Culkin to Brett Barnes to Johnny Spence, are very pro-Michael and know that he would never do this. I'm biased because I'm a family member. So go after someone else.
What is this doing to your family? I saw earlier on today that your grandmother isn't in good health and is finding it very difficult to deal with a documentary like this. This must have a devastating effect on the family and on Michael's own children.
You know, it does. It's doubly devastating when you feel like you don't have a voice, when you feel like you've gone through this before, you've gone through court cases before. He was exonerated, but then now he's not here to defend himself, and someone can make a documentary, a one-sided documentary with no other opposition, and basically that can become fact now.
Taz Jackson, I really appreciate your time. I know you're about to board a flight to LA and a long journey ahead of you.
Yeah.
But thank you very much indeed for talking to us on 98FM.
Thank you. Take care.
Okay, now, I would love to hear from you on this. On 6797981, you can text or WhatsApp the programme on 0877 98 98 98. As I said, he would have stayed on longer, only he had to go and catch a flight. And now, let me look at the other side of this. And one of the questions that people have been asking about the documentary is, why now? Why 10 years after his death have these men finally... they have kind of spoken before, but not in such a public way and really given great detail of the sort of abuse that they... claimed that they suffered as children. Why now is one of the questions that a lot of people have been asking. And a lady who's been on this programme before is a lady called Fiona Doyle, who was a child sex abuse victim herself. And Fiona, you watched the documentary last night.
I surely did, yeah.
And what did you think?
I thought at the time, like yourself, that these men were very clear and precise and went into detail very well, which is something that only a victim can do. Obviously, they have been through, I would say, an awful lot of counselling and an awful lot of self-help in regards to the abuse. Like myself, I mean, if I hadn't have done that, sure, I wouldn't be able to get on the phone and go on television programs and talk about my abuse so clearly and precise as well.
Okay, a lot of people, you know, ask, why now? Why did it take them so long when in the past, both of them, both Wade Robson and James Safechuck, denied that they were abused by him in any way. Why would they suddenly change, and why would it take this long for them to publicly claim what they've claimed?
Because, maybe because of the shame. Because, and I felt that last night. Like, that programme last night would have been a trigger for a lot of people here in Ireland. And it was a trigger for me. And when they described that he would put on porn and he would get them to nearly pick what sex act he wanted to do on them. And that triggered memories for me. And I've never spoke about that before. And I remember watching porn with my father and him more or less saying, now, what would you like me to do to you there? And that turned your head, because you start to believe that you were responsible for the abuse because you picked what he was going to do to you.
So that could be an explanation. Indeed, both of them claimed that Jackson had, you know, warned them never to speak about it, that it would ruin their careers and everything else.
Yes.
And they were just expressing love toward each other and all of that.
Yes, they were groomed so well. And it's all in the grooming. It's all in the isolation away from the family members. And it's all in the attraction. It's in the, you know, he attracted them there. So they were quite happy to put up with what was being done to them because they wanted to be there. They wanted to be in that world. That world was brilliant.
And was it a case that they didn't want to destroy that?
Yeah. Yeah, and then as they got older, they remembered that. They remembered, well, actually, I chose to be there. I chose to sleep in his bed because that's what he did. He gave them choices, and it was the fact that they were beating themselves up over these choices that brought shame and guilt on top of them. And I think that they're only coming out with it now because they've only dealt with the issues around it. Now, I don't know that they've been to counselling, but that's the feeling I get.
No, they have. They have, yeah. Okay, so from what you saw last night, it doesn't surprise you that perhaps it took them so long to come out. It doesn't surprise you the fact that it is something that they denied in the past. None of that surprises you.
No, because it's all things I did. And there's many out there that don't come out until their 40s, their 50s, their 60s. Some out there that never come out. And that is all part of the grooming, like what was done to you. And, you know, you have to deal with family alienation then and victim blaming. And so, I mean, just huge victim blaming going on now at the moment. Over that documentary.
Hmm. Okay, but do me a favour, Fiona, have a listen to this WhatsApp voice message, if you will, okay? Just have a listen to this.
With all due respect to that girl, Fiona Doyle, on the radio, these lads have had 10 years to actually make up that story, get their story straight, and actually sound like that it's the truth. I've no affiliation with Michael Jackson or his music, but to be fair, I don't think that it's true, but that's just my opinion.
What do you say to that, Fiona, that it took them this long to make up a credible story?
No, it took me this long to deal with their feelings over what happened. And, you know, I'm 8 years in counselling, and I'm still in counselling. I'm still dealing with things that happened to me. And believe me, when I go back to counselling this Monday, I'm going to have to talk about the Michael Jackson, the documentary, and the things that triggered for me.
Okay, well, do me a favour, Fiona, if you can stay there for 1 second. After the break, I'm going to be talking to probably one of Ireland's biggest Michael Jackson fans who doesn't believe a word of it, but also to a survivor of sexual abuse who also doesn't believe what was shown on that documentary. So, Fiona, stay with me for a couple of minutes if you can, please. I'd love to hear from you on this on 6797981. If you've just joined us, we're talking about the Leaving Neverland documentary on Channel 4 last night. I mean, there is no denying that it was very one-sided. All of the allegations that were made weren't in any way challenged. Now, in just a moment, I'm going to be talking to Rachel. I've disguised Rachel's voice because she was a victim of sex abuse by a family member. But because the because the person hasn't been charged or convicted, we have to disguise her voice. And Rachel, I'll talk to you in just a moment. You don't believe what you saw last night.
No, I didn't actually get to watch it last night, but I've read everything beforehand. I've recorded for tonight, but no, I don't believe it. And I have reasons why I don't believe it.
Okay, but if you can stay there for 1 second, I'll find out what your reasons are for not believing it. But before I come back to you, I want to talk to a lady who describes herself as Michael Jackson's biggest fan. Katie joins me on the line. Katie, first off, let me ask you, did you watch the documentary last night?
No, I did not, and I had no intention of watching it.
Why?
Oh, just to me, Adrian, it's the same story since 1993, same story as 2003, and they won't be the last two.
So why do you blindly believe that all of these allegations are false?
Because, I mean, there's no evidence, Adrian. I mean, with Jimmy Safechuck now and Wade Robson, there is no evidence. They wait 10 years after Michael is dead. And then they come out with this, with Gavin Arizo in 2003. There was no evidence. The jurors didn't believe them. They had nothing to go on. And he was vindicated on all 14 charges. And again in 1993, Geordie Chandler, again, nothing to go by. You know, it's just all hearsay. There's no solid
But is it, isn't that the sinister nature of grooming and abuse? Indeed, in the programme last night, they both outlined how he swore them to secrecy and so on. Isn't that the sinister nature of child abuse?
I mean, it is. I mean, I presume any predator, child abuser, molester would do that to a victim. I mean, of course they're going to swear them to secrecy and threaten them. If anybody finds out, you'll go to jail for life, I'll go to jail for life, both our careers will be over. I mean, of course. But I mean, you know, I mean, even Thomas Mesro, Michael's lawyer from 2005, he said there was absolutely nothing. I mean, 70 sheriffs went into Neverland, stripped the place. They were there for 3 days and they found nothing. You know, and I just think Wade Robson and Jimmy Safechuck, they're just opportunists now trying to cash in on, you know, on an estate that's made nearly $500 million in 10 years since Michael died. So, you know, to me they're just money grabbers, and they're just, you know, taking advantage of a very innocent, naive, and, you know, sometimes clueless man, you know.
And that's what you see him as a clueless man who had an odd sort of relationship with children. You don't see that there was anything sexual in anything he did, and you don't believe any of the allegations?
No, no. And clueless might sound a bit harsh. He was a bit naive in some ways, and that was just, you know, he was very innocent. I mean, this is a guy who didn't know that he had to get, you know, a license for a car and car insurance. He really was like a child, and then in other ways he was a genius, you know. He just, no, I never in my heart of hearts for 5 seconds thought that any of these allegations were true, ever, never.
What is your reaction then, following the airing of the documentary around the world? A number of radio stations have announced that they're no longer playing Michael Jackson music, and people say they're no longer going to listen to Michael Jackson music. What do you think of that?
Well, I mean, I find that very hurtful, and I know everybody's entitled to their own opinion, but I just think, do your homework, do your research. It's so quick to jump on the bandwagon and say, yes, he was this, yes, he was weird, yes, he was whatever. I mean, it's, you know, people aren't going to play his music. I mean, that's their own choice, but his music will never die, his legacy will never die, you know. But if these people are out to ruin his reputation, but I mean, after, never mind 1993, 2003, his reputation was never the same again. And all that just contributed to his demise and his death.
But for you, as a Michael Jackson super fan, documentaries like this will not taint your opinion on of him. You will continue to be one of his biggest fans in Ireland.
I will. I will always be number one, Adrian. I don't care what comes out. You know, I'm with Michael. He can do no wrong. And it's the family. I feel sorry for the family and the fans, you know, because they're the ones who suffer.
All right. Well, thanks very much indeed. Now, let me go back to Rachel, who, as I explained a moment ago, we have disguised her voice for legal reasons, but also a victim of sex abuse at a very young age by a family member. Rachel, what are your reasons for not believing what you know was on that program last night, even though you didn't see it?
I just think that from my experience, I was told never to say anything that I could get in trouble, that I was the wrong. And I hell came out with something so simple after a bad time. I mentioned something to a parent and straight away they were on the bandwagon. I didn't even tell them in detail or anything like that. I just said something simple when I was being dried, and straight away I was brought to a hospital and examined and tested, and the ball had started rolling. I just think as a parent, if you had an inkling that your child was abused in any way, you would get the ball rolling and you would not stop that ball. I don't care whether it was Michael Jackson or whoever in the world. I have kids now myself. The ball would not stop. I would fight and fight and fight and fight if I believed and my child was saying that something was done to them.
But from my understanding, though, Rachel, those two men, when they were kids, never revealed to their parents.
That's what I'm trying to say. They never revealed to their parents, right? And then, you know, if they were afraid, and, you know, why didn't they say it in their teens? Why didn't they say it in their 20s? Why didn't they say it when he died? Because then he wanted to, I understand there was another lady. I didn't catch her.
Her name is Fiona. She's still on the line here.
Yeah, Fiona. Like, my heart goes out to her and her situation. But everybody's different as well, because I went to counselling, and I done it when I was young, up to maybe 10, and then I relapsed again.
But sorry, Rachel, to cut across you. One of the things that certainly came across to me watching that last night was that they idolised him, that they absolutely idolised him, that they loved him. And perhaps for so many years they didn't reveal the abuse because for a long time they might have thought it was love, you know, this sexual contact. Could that be true?
Me personally, I can't get my head around that. I can't understand that. I can't understand how parents, if a child thought it was love and stuff, then they would be talking about it at home, and therefore a parent steps in and says, hold a second, you can't have love between, you know, a grown man and a child. Do you know what I mean? And that's where the questions would be asked. That's where you would be brought, get the ball rolling, get the test done. Like, I'm not saying cases don't go unnoticed, but I do. What that lady said, you know, the girl that says she's a super fan, like what she said, so many times it has come to Michael Jackson, even a few times they've been found to be con artists, and they go away when you pay them off. There is no amazing world.
And is that what you see this as, a money grab?
I do see it as a money grab, yeah, I do. I just think, how could you be satisfied with cash? I would want, me personally, the person in jail, the person to pay. The person to suffer.
Okay, Fiona, I mean, what she's basically saying is you wouldn't in your wildest dreams leave it that long to see your abuser suffer. And indeed, they had the opportunity to testify against him.
Of course they did, yeah. But it was their own. They were getting rewarded for what they did. They were getting dazzled. They loved this man. I loved my dad. I would have done anything for my dad because I loved him. And when you're seven, you're dealing with a child.
I was four. I was four years old.
Of course you were.
Like, I loved,
but you didn't watch it last night. You didn't watch that fast.
No, but I've been reading everything before it came up because I recorded it because I had a lot of driving yesterday. I went to bed early.
So when you watch it, well, then when you do watch it, let's see if you come back with the same.
I will come back with the same thing because it's
how do you know? You haven't watched it. You were lucky enough as a child to and brave enough as a child to step up and say.
But I didn't step up. It was something that was said, and because it sparked the fear and of, oh my God, that's not a normal thing to say. It was something I didn't come and say it to my parents. I didn't come and say it to a family member.
So, do you think you would have done?
It was just in chat. It was, I don't know. I was told not to, but yeah, maybe.
Exactly, you don't
continued,
know.
Yes, I probably would have. In this day and age, they're not very old, those guys as well. You know, it's all talked about, and I think it's talked about an awful lot more now than it was back, you know, years and years ago. And it just,
yes,
as a parent, you know yourself, I don't know, but just, you wouldn't let it go. I wouldn't personally let it go. There's
Can
no
I ask you a question?
Yeah?
Do you go to Mass?
No, I don't go to Mass.
Why do you ask that question, Fiona?
Because the church abused so many children in Ireland. And yet they're still accepted. And yes, the masses are still full. I mean, I walked around...
They're not as full as they used to be. They're not as full as they used to be.
No, they're not, but they still are. You will always get people to believe that it wasn't done. You'll always get...
The church is slightly different, though, Fiona, in that, you know, you can, in your head, say it was a number of bad people. It wasn't the entire church. We're talking about one individual person.
Yeah, who was very powerful and very rich. And I agree with all that.
And all right, do me a favour, both of you. Stay there for 1 second. Wade Robson and James Safechuck on the documentary that was aired on Channel 4 last night. The second part appears tonight, the Leaving Neverland documentary, claimed that they were abused and gave really graphic details of the abuse that they suffered. Now, for those of you who didn't see the documentary, this is just a tiny little excerpt of what... Wade Robson said on the documentary last night.
Every time we were together, it happened. There was no night that went by that I was with him that he didn't sexually abuse me.
There wasn't a night went by where he didn't sexually abuse him. And after the break, I'm going to be talking to, Justin. You actually met with Wade Robson a couple of years back.
Yeah, I met Wade in 2009 at MJ's This Is It world premiere. So it was an event that celebrated the King of Pop. It was an event that obviously Wade Robinson willingly wanted to attend.
Okay, well, do me a favour, Justin, and stay on the line there for 1 second, because I want to find out more about that in straight after the break. Don't go away. Now, Justin, one of the guys featured was Wade Robson. And you met him back in 2009. Tell me about that and what it was all about.
Yeah, so I met Wade in 2009 at Michael Jackson's This Is It premiere in Los Angeles. It was an event that celebrated the King of Pop. A lot of people, particularly myself and fans, were very much in mourning. It was 4 months after he passed. Mm-hmm. I'd obviously go a lot about Michael Jackson, anyone pretty much associated with him. And I knew Wade Robson, and I approached him in the lobby. And as a fan, I got talking to him, and he spoke to me very, very kindly about MJ. He also said the devastation he felt about his death, and that he's the biggest influence, and he's done so much for me in my lifetime. And I just said, you know, thanks for always supporting him, and as I always did. And at that same event, I met Tom Mesereau. And Tom Mesereau, I walked up to him and I thanked him as a fan. Tom Mesereau, sorry for people who don't know, it was Michael Jackson's lawyer in 2003.
That's right,
2005.
Yeah.
And I went up to him and I said, you know what, I thank you from the bottom of my heart, from every fan's heart, that you did this for someone who's just been brought to this injustice. And I'm not playing press, I don't have a camera in front of me. He turns around to me and he said, it was a travesty what happened to him. The man was innocent, he always was. He didn't have to say that to me. Mm. I'm not paying him, you know.
But as regards Wade Robson, who last night on that documentary graphically described the abuse that he claims to have suffered at his hand, did you get any sense from talking to him 10 years ago, shortly after Jackson's death, did you get any sense of him that there was something there that he was never going to speak about?
No, like, I wouldn't know. In fairness, I wouldn't know him personally. It was a
no, I understand that, but it was a conversation with him.
It's about a fan. But you see, there's a timeline on Wade Robson, Adrian. In 2009, he approached to be the chief choreographer of This Is It. He didn't get that, right? Now, and he moves on and he asks again, could I be chief choreographer of Cirque du Soleil show that hit Vegas in 2010-11? He didn't get that. It, then he went after the lawsuits, right? And this is not about money in Wade Robson's eyes. He went after the lawsuit. A judge in court has thrown all them out. Now, there's one that is still in appeal, and Taj mentioned that earlier to you. But you see, what also happened was, this is not about money, so all the memorabilia that Wade Robson has, he begged Julian's Auctions not to disclose who he was selling these things. But I think due to auction laws or whatever, they did disclose, and it is online, and he was selling MJ memorabilia because this guy doesn't need any money.
So this isn't a money grab then?
To me, this is a money grab. What they're saying, the quote is that this isn't a money grab. But this is, what this is a four-hour, one-sided, unethical media piece. It is drawn out, completely hijacked, in my opinion, the Me Too movement that's happening right now. I think this is more damaging to MJ than seeing him in cuffs in 2005, which is ludicrous. These two people who no one knows from Adam, if you do the background on them, like I have as a fan, they've got a history of lies, whether that's in personal life, whether that's financial life, or whether that's even to okay, the
so,
5 years.
So why, Justin, then, would they take part in this four-hour documentary where, as you can hear from today's programme, and this is just one radio programme in one city in Dublin, there's very mixed opinions. A lot of people don't believe them. Why would they put themselves up for possible public ridicule?
Because they've tarnished their names as it is. So he's
so what, they've nothing to lose?
They've nothing to lose because they've already made the accusation, so they need to take it one step further. And if you even look at what way things are going, whether these Netflix documentaries are happening or anything else, it is very, very convincing and they are very appealing, especially the Me Too movement. This is what's happening. It's the climate and everyone is just jumping on board. And I'm not saying all of that is wrong, but these guys have, for the last 5 years, changed their story so many different times. Right, they've had 5 years to write a narrative. It was very descriptive. Like, it's like if a producer or anyone, screenwriter, goes in to write a film. It is a narrative. These two have sat together and cooperated this. Michael Jackson, like him or not, his attitude towards children has never changed. His attitudes or his opinions towards children has never changed. Whether you like it or not, but that is, he never lied about that. And to me, in my opinion, if you've got someone who was guilty of something like they say he knew damn well in the documentary that he was doing what he was doing. But honestly, would you honestly put yourself in that situation, publicly speaking about the love and affection you have towards children? And the reason why he loved children that much, because this guy was the biggest brand in the world. He's big in McDonald's. He's big in Coca-Cola. He was even big in Disney in the 80s. He was the biggest brand in the world. He was a massive cash cow. He couldn't trust an adult from Adam. Like, adults let him down.
So okay, all right, Justin, you said last night the documentary was quite convincing in ways when you looked at the two guys, especially when they went into detail of the abuse they claimed to have suffered. But you believe that they had nothing to lose by taking part in this. Why would their families, their mothers, take part in it? For the same reason?
Adrian, did you watch it last night?
I did, yes.
The mothers, in my opinion, didn't do them any justice if they wanted to. They seemed a bit hyper. They obviously just craved fame. You know, back then with MJ and any association with fame, and they had no problem doing this. Like I said, the whole family have thrown their name under the bus, so doing this isn't nothing new. We can only escalate their claim. This can only escalate it.
Okay, all right. Stay there for 1 second if you can, please. 6797981 is our telephone number. On the other line here, I have another lady whose name and voice we have had to disguise for, again, legal reasons to do with a sexual abuse allegation. We're calling her Julie. Julie, a big Michael Jackson fan, but also somebody who suffered abuse as a child.
Yes.
Okay. Now, you saw, did you see the documentary last night?
I deliberately boycotted it. I did not see it, no.
Okay. But you are annoyed with what Fiona was saying. Why?
Very much so, because the documentary is based on pure lies. everyone who knows the story about allegations against Michael Jackson would know that he was never convicted because he was always on the right path. However,
okay, but just because somebody wasn't convicted doesn't mean they didn't do anything.
Well, I believe very much that he was an innocent man because my lifestyle growing up was very similar to his. So I can relate very well.
Meaning what, Julie?
It means that I love and adore children. And for that reason, because he did not have a proper childhood, he wanted to make sure every child that went to Neverland had all the amenities that children would, because I mean, if you want to go to Disneyland, not every parent can afford it. But he made Neverland affordable and open to every child. So for these people to actually come out and tell...
Okay, but what this documentary portrayed last night is, yes, he certainly did wonderful work for children and for children's charities and so on, but that there was some special friends that he had. That's what was portrayed in this documentary.
But there were no special friends because, I mean, I personally never knew anything about Wade Robson. Only a few years ago when he was always talking about how great Michael Jackson is, how Michael Jackson is the reason why he is what he is today. And I started following him because I'm into music and his choreography was, you know, brilliant and all that. And I loved it. But it's just for him to turn around. I mean, come on, he did the same thing to Britney Spears and Justin Timberlake. So he's a known liar. So this documentary is definitely going to support and help his ongoing case that even Taj spoke about earlier on.
Okay, but as somebody who has been a victim yourself of child abuse, surely you could have an understanding as to why it might take somebody so long to publicly speak.
Very much so.
With that in mind, can you not have any sort of an inkling of a belief that it may have happened?
I understand how that works. And even like the other person who spoke after Fiona, the same thing. However, when we're talking about child abuse, it's something that I do not take lightly because it's damaging and it's damaging for life. I personally can tell you that. So no matter the counseling, you can never be healed from it. But to actually, for Fiona to compare real issues to lies, for me, I just found it so...
But you're... where some people believe that they were telling the truth, you believe that they're telling lies. And one last call. Tony, your point on this is there's no smoke without fire and there were too many allegations made against him for it not to be true.
Exactly. First of all, I'll just say to those people who have gone through what they've gone through, I'm very sorry, and hopefully one day they can find peace within themselves and what happened to them. But look at other cases where there has been sexual abuse with other celebrities and they've been found guilty. It's with such little allegations. Whereas...
But the fact is that Jackson was acquitted back in 2005 of every single charge against him. And I'm sure you remember them all being read out. And that was a forensic court case.
Yeah, and it wasn't just a week or two. It was a long time.
Yeah. What makes you now believe that what these guys said on the programme is true?
I don't.
Oh, you don't believe them?
I don't believe them. I just don't think there's too many allegations against them. You know, and he's been found not guilty every single time.
All right, I'm a little bit confused as to whether you believe him or not. All right, but look, thanks very much indeed, Tony, for your call, and Julie, and Justin, and Fiona, and all of you. Thank you very much indeed for all of your calls. You're listening to 98FM's Dublin Talks. The second episode of that documentary is on Channel 4 at 9 o'clock tonight.
98FM's Dublin Talks with Des Kelly Interiors. New store now open at Belgard Road, Tallaght. 98FM.